Good morning. I'm Pastor Jaredyn. It's really good to see you all here this morning, and it's especially good to see all the kids here this morning. A couple weeks ago when Be Free Kids had finished, I asked one of the kids what they thought about being a part of the whole service, and they responded to me, "It's just so boring." And so I hope that this morning is a surprise to the kids, and we have coloring sheets and crosswords and word searches, and it really is a blessing to see every generation represented in this church. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to be continuing in Jonah. We'll be reading Jonah 1:17 to 2 verse 10 from the English Standard Version. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the hearts of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.' And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Jonah. We thank you that your word is inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray this morning that your Spirit would speak through these words. That as I explain these words, that you would open our hearts and minds to understand. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the series this morning on the book of Jonah called God's Call to Mercy. My first sermon, I laid the groundwork for the book of Jonah by identifying a problem, the problem of mercy. Jonah did not understand how God could have mercy on evil people. As a result, he headed the other way, and so God pursued Jonah. He came after Jonah and put a great storm on the sea, and the only way for it to subside was to be thrown in. And today we get to the next part. The Lord appointed a fish to swallow up Jonah. And what I've titled today's sermon is The Experience of Mercy. Because I believe what happens in Jonah 2 is that Jonah experiences mercy for himself. God reaches into the depths of death to bring life for Jonah. Whatever we think of the book of Jonah, this is the hinge point. Because after, Jonah does exactly what God told him. So the structure of this passage is what I'm going to call a narrative sandwich, which is fitting for a potluck Sunday, of course. And how it works is the top part is narrative and the bottom part is narrative. Jonah is swallowed up and then he is spit out. In fact, if you read it, it's without the poem, it's seamless. It says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Then verse 10, "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land." And so people have wondered, is this poem out of place? Why is it here? What is the point of it? And I think that this poem is the very meat of the experience of mercy. There are three ingredients for mercy: trial, deliverance, and thanksgiving. Anyone who experiences mercy goes through trial, is met with deliverance, and concludes in thanksgiving. So it starts in the first part. If we remember 1 verse 15, Jonah is thrown into the sea. The sea is still. Verse 16, the sailors worship God. And then verse 17, it says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. If you've read this lots before, or if this is your first time hearing it, it is a strange story. And I want us to get caught in that strangeness, because some reason when we read it, we think in our minds, huh, I wonder what it would have been like in there. Would Jonah have found Nemo or Dory? Were there other people in there? Was there a ship? But as we read into this poem, I think what happened to Jonah is what would happen to any of us if we were swallowed by a fish. You probably wouldn't survive. And that's what happens in the next verses, in the beginning of the poem. It says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Sheol is not the land of the living. This prayer is a hindsight prayer. Jonah is praying about God's deliverance, reaching into death to pull Jonah to life. I wanted to be intentional about this point because Jesus also talked about this. Matthew 12, the Pharisees question Jesus. What kind of sign are you going to show us that we may know you are the Christ? And he says, you will see no other sign than the sign of Jonah. Matthew 12, verse 40 says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So just as Jonah is a historical prophet with a real story swallowed by a great fish, it is also a sign of the gospel. Jonah lives. Jesus lives. After 3 days and three nights, God reaches into death to grab new life. And this poem shows the experience of mercy, the length God goes for Jonah, the length Jesus went for each of us. And that starts with the first point, trial. Jonah is put into trial. And that starts in verse 3. He says, for you cast me into the deep. For you. Technically, it was the sailors who threw Jonah into the sea. Yet Jonah credits God for his trial. It's interesting when I ask people about how they came to know Jesus or an experience of trial. Often they will credit God for something hard they went through. The reason being is because in that season of trial, God met them. God met them powerfully there. It was for a purpose. God wanted them. So the poem continues. Into the heart of the seas and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. To this point in Jonah, Jonah goes nowhere but downward. Jonah goes down to Joppa. He pays fare to go into the ship. He goes into the innermost parts of the ship for a nap. He's thrown off of the ship into the sea and descends down in the sea. He's swallowed by a fish God appointed and keeps going down. He goes to the root of the mountains where weeds are about his head, to the bars of the earth. He goes to the bottom where nothing else is left except God. God is the only thing left for Jonah. As I thought of this connection, I related in my own life of how there's moments of trial where that's what God is doing. To help us see him at the bottom of it all. And yet in this, I couldn't help but think of the Lord's Prayer. Because yes, there's trial and deliverance. But listen to what the Lord's Prayer says. Lead us not into temptation, which can also mean testing. Lead us not into trial. You ever thought of how we pray that? Don't let us go into that because of the second part. But deliver us from evil. The second part of the experience of mercy, the most important part of mercy, is deliverance. That God reaches in and delivers us. Continues at the second part of verse 6. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah remembered the Lord. He descended down to the deepest part, and then he remembered. God is even here. I thought about this point last week when Jonah preached on the prodigal son, and also from the skit, which if you didn't watch, go back to last Sunday and watch the skit from the youth. It was fantastic. The point that stuck out to me was in the skit when the rebellious teenager was plunging toilets and longed to eat the greasy sandwich from his boss. He remembered the gourmet lunches that his father had. He remembered his father at the bottom. And this concept of remembering the Lord is so critical for us. Because how often do we forget when we're going through something that God is with us? To remember that God is good. He is a good and gracious king. So when Jonah remembers God, God meets Jonah and delivers him. Which leads to the third part of the experience of mercy, thanksgiving. Jonah gives thanks to God for his deliverance. Verse 8 says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. In other words, those who depend on anything other than God forsake the steadfast love that we find when we remember the Lord in our trial. Jonah remembers God. And he continues, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah vows to the Lord thanksgiving. He vows salvation. And in the next chapter, he goes to Nineveh. Jonah experiences mercy. At the depths of death, God reached down and got him. This is the pivotal part of Jonah. When he gives thanksgiving. Because we see Jonah experiences mercy so that he can go and share mercy. I was talking with another pastor before I did this series on Jonah, and he asked me, do you think that Jonah is repentant? Which is a really good question. People often ask this because Jonah has this prayer where he seems to be repenting, and then he goes to speak to Nineveh, but then he's rebellious after. So why? What's with the rebellion? And so I answered him, I don't really think so because of, you know, what happens after. But as I spent some time in this poem and in this experience of mercy, I couldn't help but think that maybe Jonah is repentant. And that maybe Jonah experiences the depths of mercy God went for him. And I think the better question to ask is, what does God do despite Jonah? I think often we critique Jonah for what he does after, but then forget, sometimes I do the same thing. I experience mercy. I know the depths of what God has done for me, but then I still forget to show mercy to others. But even still, God uses Jonah. Over and over and over again in this book, God uses Jonah despite Jonah. This is a book about God's mercy. God reaching in to share mercy. And so that leads to the end of the narrative part. Jonah prays this prayer, the experience of mercy. And then we get to verse 10. It says, "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." After Jonah experienced mercy, after Jonah went into trial, received deliverance, and responded with thanksgiving, God heard his prayer, and he answered him. And this is so much more than just this historical story. I want to mention again that this is the sign of Jonah, the sign of the gospel. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah is swallowed by a great fish. 3 days and three nights, and then he lives. Jesus died for our sake. 3 days later, came to life. Commissioned his disciples, built the church. The church is built off of this sign of the gospel. New life. Life after death. This is the Christian hope. This is the length Jesus went for us, for you, for me. I loved what Anita and Struan shared about the kids' ministry and what Gordon shared about small groups. What they were pointing towards is that we are part of an eternal mission, that we are part of the gospel of Jesus. So in a celebration Sunday where we celebrate the ministries, what God has done, we celebrate the gospel. Apart from the gospel, we would be nothing. And there is no better way to respond than with this potluck meal. To fellowship together, to celebrate what God has done, to celebrate his good gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the sign of Jonah that points to the greater reality of your gospel, life on the other side of death. Thank you, Lord, that you reach in and give us life when we need it most. God, that we are not left helpless and that we have hope that we can gather here together as a church because of your gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.